people, how you doing? Woohoo, man. Good, good, good. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you've given us your son, Jesus. We thank you you've given us who is the word, and you've given us this word, the Bible. We thank you, Father, for words this morning that'll go into our hearts. Father, shake us, wake us. Thrust us forward to all the great plans you have for us. I thank you, Father, that you have words for every person in this house this morning, Father, that will change and give clarity in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I am excited. We're starting a new series called Called, C-A-L-L-E-D, in case I had a little Jersey accent in there. Somebody said, what'd you say? It's Called. Called. And just want to start a little story. In 1978, Jack and I packed up a Honda, was it a Honda Accord? Put a brown car top carrier on top of it, and we headed out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Jack was going to go to Bible school, because I said I would never go to school again, because I just didn't take it serious all those years, and you know, so I was like, I'm never going, but I will go with you to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you can go to Bible school. And he did. And probably by the end of the first month, he knew he was called. He knew he was called. By 3 months into it, he knew he was called to pastor. So much so is we ended by spending 3 years out there, because the last year, you know, never say never. Everybody say that. Because you'll eat those words. And I said, I'd never go back to school. And Jack went through the 2 years, and then we were going to go back to York, and please, can I go to school? So I ended up by going. It was fun. But anyway, right before we were ready to leave, our pastor grabbed us one day, and he says, hey, I want to meet you in the office. And I still get that, like, called into the principal's office, you know, but this is my pastor. He loves me and stuff. Like, you know, still just goofy thinking from the past. Like, how many of you ever got called into the principal's office? Okay, it still gets you. So anyway, he calls us in the office, and he actually offered us to be the youth pastors at church. And I was really not too thrilled about going home, and I was like, yeah, this is really good. And Jack said, no, we are called to go back to York. I was like, okay. So I tell you all that story is that Jack knew immediately that he was called. I knew, I probably had, did anybody make the list, the pros and cons, the yes and no's? So I knew I was, not quite that word, but I knew I was not to go back to teaching. So then I was raising kids, and then I knew I was called, and I knew I was called to children. And a few years go by, and I knew I was called to women. And then I knew I was called to Pastor D. So I probably did the long awakening and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, we know part of this and we don't know the whole story, but that's okay. So today I want to talk to you. No, I really want to ask a question. Here you go. Get your pen ready. Here we go. Ready? Do you know that you are called? Do you know what your calling is? And you could hear by these stories, Jack knew right away his call. Ing. I knew I was called, but I wasn't sure on the ing part. All right. So today we're going to talk about calling. And some of you know you're called. Raise your hand if you know you're called. Some of you know you're called, but maybe you don't raise your hand on this one. Maybe you walked away. And I'm telling you, I've been praying about this for a month, and I know God is going to talk to you about the thing that you might have walked away from. And some of you don't know what the heck she's talking about. Never heard anybody teach on it. You don't know what a call is or a calling. Well, that's okay. You are in the right place. So I'm going to give you a Greek word, K-A-E-L-O. It's the Greek word. Every once in a while, I just feel like I know some Greek here. All right, you know, just feel a little brilliant here. But it's the word for calling, and I'm going to give you the English definition, because that's the only Greek I can say. Okay, here's the English definition. This is the definition for calling, and I'm going to say this 100 times in the next 4 weeks. But if you write it down, I won't have to say it as many. It's a good post-y note. This is the post-y note for the month. Ready? Here we go. Calling is an invitation to stand in a divine appointed position. Calling is an invitation to stand in a divine appointed position. Keep that up, guys. Amen. So, the interesting thing about this invitation is your mom does not give you the invitation. Your dad and your granny does not give you the invitation. It is a divine invitation. So guess who gives the invitation? God Almighty has an invitation for every one of us to stand in an appointed position. Everybody say, wow, wow, you're awesome, okay? So God has invited every single one of you to a divine appointed position. God has invited you and you and you. You are so special, all right? So you can't wiggle out the back door. God has invited you to a divine appointed position. So some of you might be sitting here thinking, well, you know I am not called to pastor. I know I'm not called to full-time ministry. Well, guess what? Probably only 1% of the people are, okay? And that's cool, all right? And if you are called to the what we call the fivefold ministry, and I'll get into that later, I love helping you out. And we've helped pastors in the past start churches. We've helped people in different ministries. But probably only 1% of y'all is going to be that type of called. Do you know? But what about the 99? The 99%. Guess what? You are as much called as I am. Everybody say, I am called. I am called. Now, your calling may not be full-time or part-time. Your calling might be volunteer. And I love volunteering. To this day, just love it. How many of you volunteer? Pretty much anybody that serves, hands out stuff or shovels something, you volunteer around here, okay? Now, we're going to talk about callings. And when it comes to callings, there's two kinds. And we're going to talk about it for the whole month. The first one is a general calling. A general calling. And we all have a general calling. And we'll talk about that next week. The second one we're going to talk about is specific callings. And your calling will be different than my calling. You have a specific calling. So everybody say, I have a specific calling. You do. Praise God. So, now, it's so much fun. We're going to have a great time. But how many of you have read different prayers in your Bible? All throughout, especially the New Testament. Psalms is a whole bunch of prayers, especially when I'm going to talk about the New Testament. In the New Testament, there's all these prayers. And usually you'll, especially the epistles, Paul will pray prayers, and these other guys would pray prayers in these chapters, and they would go something like this: "Hey, I'm praying for the church at Ephesus," or "Hey," of course they didn't start their sentence with "Hey." "Hey, I'm praying for you guys," okay? And there's this one. I'm going to say this, and those of you that know this, probably the most important prayer. The most important prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 1. So open up Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. Now, these prayers that Paul prayed for these churches and these other guys who wrote the Bible, they were prayed for these churches, but they're prayed for us too. Okay? This Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it dished it out then, it's still being dished out for us. So Ephesians chapter 1, say amen when you get there. Okay, the first part, we're going to start in verse 18. The first part of this prayer, we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk today about the second part. And it says Ephesians 1, 18, and I'm reading out of the American Standard. Okay, and it says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know. Having the eyes, some scriptures say the eyes of your understanding blasted with light. Having your understanding full of light that you may know. Okay, so he's praying. This is Paul that's writing this, and he's praying that God would open your eyes that you may know something. He's praying that God would open your eyes that you would see some things, okay? And you know what the things are? The things are that you would know that when you read your Bible, it would make sense. That God would open your eyes to spiritual truth, to principles. So every time you're reading the Bible or you're in prayer time, he's praying that God would open your eyes that you would know these Bible things and spiritual things and great God things, okay? So he's praying that God would open your spiritual eyes that you would know. So would you know what? Well, we're going to read the second part. So it says, the second part, it says that, so that you may know the hope of his calling, his meaning Jesus, he's praying that you would know the hope of Jesus's calling that affects you. I want every stinking wonderful thing, stinking, take that out. I want every wonderful thing that Jesus has. How about you? So he's praying that your eyes would be open, that you would know all the greatness of Jesus that's for you. It's pretty good. Okay, then he goes and he talks about the riches of your inheritance and the power of the resurrection. And those are great things, but we're not going to talk about that. Today we're going to talk about that you would come to know the greatness of Jesus for your life. All right. And the other part, it says that you would come to know the hope of his calling. Everybody say calling. And I asked in the beginning, how many of you know that you're called? How many of you don't even know what a call is? How many want to get a call? Okay, so this is what he's really praying, that you would know what your calling is, that you would know what you're called to do. All right. So we're going to talk about that today. Now, if you are, we don't do membership here, but if you have been here around the block a couple times, I pray for you every week. I pray for you a couple times a week. And I pray this prayer for you. Father God, I pray for my people here that you would open the eyes of their understanding. They would know what they're called for. Okay? And I pray that. And then, so some of you go, Pastor D, I was reading my Bible and it was like, pop. It just all of a sudden went, pop. I got it. That's because I'm praying, God, open their eyes that they might know spiritual things, Bible things, principles of God. Okay. So I pray this for you a couple times a week. I do a mass prayer and then your faces come to me and I do a prayer like that. Father God, I just pray for so-and-so in our church. Open their eyes that they might know their calling in Jesus and all you're called to do. So now I pray this for me every time I open my Bible. Every time I open my Bible, before it's closed, I go, Father God, open my eyes that I would see the truths in here. So I don't go, all right, I didn't get anything out of it. Check, read my Bible. I've had some of those days. You know, I was like, oh, I don't know. I can't even remember what I read. Anybody, don't raise your hand. How many of you read your Bible because you know your mama said read your Bible? And you go, I can't even remember what I read. So then I close my Bible and I start all over again. Father God, I thank you that you open the eyes of my understanding. You flood it with light that when I read right now today, that lights would go off and it would just, I'd get it. And it would speak to me. And he does. So I pray this for you. Guess what? You can pray this for you. You should pray this for you, okay? Now, I'm praying for you, but you can do this for yourself because I do this for myself. I do this for my kids, all right? So go pray that. Now, open up to Jude. Jude is the second to last book in the Bible. Revelation's the last. Move over one more inch, and I have to laugh. It's called a book. It's really pages. It's just pages. It doesn't even have chapter one, chapter two. I just kind of giggled when I was thinking on that. So Jude 1, page 1, verse 1. All right. Let me read this to you. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, to those who have been called. So listen, what's going on is he's writing to Christians, and he's writing and saying, y'all called. Y'all are called. Everybody say, I'm called. All right. I'm going to get that in you. So you're not going to sneak out of here. All right. So he's telling us that we're called. And I just want you to walk out of this next couple weeks and know and say, God, I'm called. And if you're like me years ago, I didn't know what call or calling was. So I just got tenacious and said, God, I want to know. I want to know. And you know, if you seek, you'll, if you ask, be opened up to you. Okay, so if this is new to you, and we're going to talk about it for the whole month here, but just start asking, God, what am I called? What am I called to? What are my callings? All right, and let me tell you, he will talk to you. So I always give you a big idea, a main idea, so write this down. This is the thing I want you to get more clearly than you've ever understood, okay? Just I want you to just get it, and you get it, and you get it. And it goes like this. Your position isn't dependent on your condition. I got one person whisper, yep, that's right. Your position isn't dependent on your condition. Okay, so your position is your calling, and your calling is an invitation, come on, an invitation to stand in a divine, didn't you write it down? Go back, you wrote this down, ready? An invitation to stand in a divinely appointed position. God, write that down, guys. All right, so your position is your calling, and your calling isn't based on your condition. Now, what is your condition? Who you are, what family you got born into. Your condition is how old you are or how young you are. Your condition is like how many mistakes you are, okay? All of that. And this is saying none of that matters. None of that, my past, I don't know how to do this. I can do this. This happened to me in life, and that happened to me in life. None of that matters, because your position, your calling, has nothing to do with that condition. Amen. Amen. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. All right. So your position isn't dependent on your condition. Now, I'm going to give you four quick points to help you understand that. So point number one, here we go. It doesn't matter who you were when God called you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you were. All right. So when God called me, there's some more callings, but when God called me, I was not the best person. My kids don't even know. They just thought Jack was the wild man. I still don't tell them, you know. Mom is just so wonderful. All right. I wasn't the most wonderful person. I wasn't the smartest. I wasn't the most gifted person. And yet, those were my conditions, right? Those were my conditions. But God still called me. God still called me. God called me. All righty. Now, it doesn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your stuff. Doesn't make a hill of beans on the thing that God called you. I'm going to give you two examples in the Bible. The first guy is Abraham. Okay, just write down the word Abraham, because you love taking notes, okay? Abraham. Okay, when God called Abraham, his name was Abram, but when God called him, he was not a believer. Guess what that makes him? A sinner. A heathen, okay? When God called Abram, he was not a believer. Matter of fact, he was an idol worshiper. He'd build these things and bow down to them. And yet God called him, and he was just a mess up, all right? So God called him. So when God called him, his name was Abram, and he goes to Abram and he says, God's voice, God. No, he goes, I have called you. Your name is no longer going to be Abram. It's going to be Abraham. And you are going to be the father of many nations. All right. Now, God called a man who didn't know God. God called a guy who wasn't living for God. God called a guy who knew nothing and worshiped idols, which means he worshiped devils. I mean, he's just far from God. God called him. All righty. So, and you know what God called him? What happened? He invited him to stand in a divinely appointed position. What? He called someone who didn't know God, who worshiped idols, who was far from God. Yes, when he was a mess, God called him to stand in a divinely appointed position. Okay, do you know what his calling was then? Or his position? After God called him, he called him into this position. He called him into this position. The position was to be the first Jew. There weren't any before that. He was the first Jew. God called him to be the father of the Jewish nation. God called him to be the father of faith. And yet, he didn't know God, wasn't living for God, just far from God, and God called him. So, your condition can't be your excuse, all right? It just blows it out of the water, all righty? So think about this. Our position or our calling or our position, our divinely appointed position, has nothing to do with your condition. And, you know, Abraham, that was just crazy that God would pick him, and he did. So open up to Genesis. We're going to read this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12. So remember, Abraham was a non-believer when God called him. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Abraham, God called him when he was a non-believer. Okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Okay, this was his invitation to stand in a divinely appointed position. That was his invitation, right? You agree with me? That was his invitation. Okay, that was his invitation. God invited a heathen. God invited a heathen to be the father of faith, to be the father of the Jewish nation, God invited him. All right, so God invited him. But listen, he still had a choice. Abram had a choice. Should I go with this invitation or should I just go the other way? And everybody here has a choice to either go with the invitation to stand in a divinely appointed position or just walk away. All right? You have a choice. All right? Now, I like Abraham. He took the choice. He took the invitation. He took the invitation. Let's do verse 2. Verse 2. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." You will be a blessing. Okay. So this was what he was called to do. Now, when when he got this invitation, he was 75 years old. His wife was 65 years old. And while they were younger, in childbearing years, doesn't that sound like silly? Okay, they didn't have kids. They couldn't have kids. She was barren. They didn't have fertility doctors back then. They could not have kids when they were younger, and here they are, 75 and 65. Everybody know that part of the story? Okay? But your condition has nothing to do with your position, your divinely called position. It had nothing to do with it. God was going to call them. It had nothing to do with them, okay? So verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Your position is not dependent on your condition. They didn't have it going. Okay, let me give you another guy, okay? Jeremiah. Open up to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he was a youth when God called him. So I don't care how young you are, if God has a call on your life, it doesn't matter. He was a young guy, all righty? And God called him. God called him. How many of you people read your Bible? David. He was called as a teen. Joshua and Caleb. All the old farts answered the question wrong, and these guys got it right. So they were it, and they were young, okay? Is it the Welsh revival that started with the teenagers? I get all my revivals mixed up. But there was college campuses. Hey, the 70s, when I got saved, it was college campuses, youth, that received Jesus and the Holy Spirit and just blew up the place. God likes youth. And if you're a youth, it's okay. God's going to use you. Okay, so it doesn't matter your age. All you have to do is answer the invitation. All you have to do is answer the invitation. You need to answer the invitation. Now, God's going to call Jeremiah, and he's got this big call for him. And the Bible scholars say that Jeremiah was probably in eighth grade. Eighth grade means 13, 14. Is that junior high? Our favorite group. I love junior high. Okay. Junior high. A junior high boy. He calls the junior high boy, and he gives him this big call. And he's called to go to the nations. Okay, now it would be one thing to say I'm called to go to be a prophet to Israel because that's my home. All right, I'll go talk to my king and I'm going to talk to my people and my family. All right, but his big call was to be a prophet to the nations. That meant he went to some king in another country and he said, hey, you need to know this is going to happen from God. Now, think on this. He's puberty and his voice is cracking. You need to do this from God. I mean, just come on. He's 13 years old and he's going before kings of other nations. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. All right. I think we should read the Bible on that one. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The Lord said to me, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed within your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as a spokesperson to the world. That spokesperson to the world was his calling to be a prophet to the nations. A little eighth grader. That's pretty big, right? That's big. An eighth grader got a calling to go to the nations, okay? Let's jump down to verse 6. Oh, Lord, this is Jeremiah. Oh, Lord, I said, I can't do it. I'm far too young and I'm only a youth. The Hebrew word for youth there means from infancy to adolescence. From infancy to adolescence, okay? So the Bible, now again, the Bible scholars say, so this guy's probably in eighth grade, and he's going, I can't do it. I don't care how old of you are, how many of you have told the Lord some things. I can't do it. I can't. You don't understand, God. It's usually my thing. You don't understand what's going on. It's so silly. Okay, so Jeremiah's, you know, just going, God, I can't do it. All righty. But again, your calling has nothing to do with your condition, right? Your calling has nothing to do with your condition. All right, verse 7. Okay, this is God's comeback to Jeremiah. This is God talking to Jeremiah, and he says, now I want you, excuse me. Don't say that, he replied, for you will go wherever I send you and speak whatever I tell you. Don't say that. Now, everybody humor me for 2 seconds. Look at the person next to you and say, don't say that. Since that was so much fun, tell the person on the other side, don't say that. That's what God was saying to him. Don't say that. Don't say that. I say that a lot to some people. Okay, don't say that. Don't say that. All right. So why would God say, don't say that? Well, that brings me to point number 2 if you're taking notes. Here we go. Write this down. God equips the ones he calls. God equips the ones he calls. God equips And you all have been invited, y'all have been invited to stand in a divinely appointed position. And God equips you to do it. Oh, so exciting, Pastor D. It's just so exciting. Amen. All right. He equips you, so that means he will give you gifts to do the call. He will give you gifts to do the call. It was probably Super Bowl Sunday. I was hanging out with some friends, and these guys were talking about when they were younger playing football. And I was listening to all these stories. It was kind of cute. And one of the guys said, hey, when I was a sophomore, I made it on the varsity. The only trouble is they just needed bodies. And so all the juniors and seniors got the good equipment. And I got the leftover equipment. And I got a helmet that was too big. But I was psyched because I'm on the varsity team and I'm going to play. This is so cute. I love boy stories. So he's telling about, it was the first big time they're dressing up for a big practice, you know, before the big game. And he's got this helmet that just kind of wobbles. Okay. And the coach is going, hit him in the number. That means hit him here. Okay. Hit him with your head. Now, nowadays they found out they all have concussions and their brains are all half whacked and they don't tell you to do that. Right. Right. They spent $1 million on these things, but that's what they told him. Hit him with your head in the number. And that's what he did. So he's got this rocking helmet and he runs and he says the helmet smashes down on his nose and breaks his nose. Yeah. So can I tell you, God will never give you a helmet that doesn't fit. God will not give you something that's too big. That's not yours. God will equip you to do the call he's put on your life. So you can't compare yourself with people, all right? God will equip you with the gift you need for the call he gave you. So there goes that excuse. Okay, amen. All right, let's finish reading the story. Verse 8 and 9. And the Lord's going, talking to Jeremiah, and don't be afraid of the people, for I, the Lord, will be with you and see you through. Then he touched my mouth and said, see, I have put my words in your mouth. That's when he put the gift in him. That's when he deposited the gift in him to do the call. God equips those he calls. Everybody say, God equips those he calls. Praise God. So, the call was to be a prophet, and he deposited the gifts so he could be a prophet to the nations. Praise God. Some of you are going, oh God, I'm so glad he didn't do it to me. Just you wait. So God will equip you to do anything he's called you to do, and then he'll give you the gifts to do it. And if I had known this years ago, I would have stopped all my arguing with him. Okay? If I'd known that, it would have like, just waste your breath, Dee. God will equip you with the gifts that you need to fulfill the call. Amen. All righty. Let's see. So we talked about Abraham. Open up to Romans. This is probably like one of these super famous Bible verses that every mama teaches their kid. Okay, Romans. Romans 4. All right. And this scripture is about God equipping. God equipping. Romans 4, verse 17. Romans 4, verse 17. It's about Abraham, okay, but it's a New Testament talk about Abraham, an Old Testament guy. So Romans 4, 17. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made thee, before him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead, and this is the part I want to get to, and calls things that are not as though they are. I love that. God calls things that aren't as though they are. God calls things that aren't as though they are, okay? So when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, that's what he did. He called the aren'ts as though they are. He called the guy who was 75 years old, hadn't had kids, right? He called the things that aren't as though they are. Phew, praise God. Praise God. Alrighty. So, and he called him, listen, right then he says, oh, I'm going to change your name. And now you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be called the father of faith. You're going to lead. You're going to be the father of the Jewish nation. And he's probably standing there going, okay. All right. So, but God calls those things that aren't as though they are. And bam, it's happened right there. The gift popped inside of him. All right. I'm going to take you. It looks like I'm lost on a rabbit trail, but stay focused. Stay focused. Okay. Abram, before he was Abraham, was 75, and his wife Sarai was 65, okay? They couldn't have kids. They couldn't have kids. And now they had this name change. They got this call, this invitation to stand in a divinely appointed position, okay? And they're on this little road trip, and they're on, and they're going to come in contact with a king. King Ahimelech. I said that wrong. Ahimelech. Thank you. Close enough. Okay. So they're going to go to this king. And they're on their little road trip, and they have to go to this king. And Abram grabs Sarah and goes, Sarah, get over here. What do you want? You know, I'm on this camel. Come on, what's the matter? Listen, when we get to the king, just say, I'm your brother. Don't tell him I'm your husband, because you are so beautiful, and he'll want to kill me so he can have you. So Sarah, just tell him I'm not your husband. Okay. How many of you know that story? Okay. So I'm thinking, why? She's 65 years old. Now, I think 65-year-old women are gorgeous, right?
Absolutely.
Right. April 19th, I am 65. You know, everybody should say, yes, Pastor D. Okay. But the kings back then had harems, and they did not stock them with 65-year-old women. Okay? What'd they stock them with? Really young girls, teens. That's what they filled it. They didn't fill it with 65-year-old women. They filled it with young girls, okay? The younger ones. Okay, so I got to thinking, why was he so worried? Just think with me. Come on. I'm not lost. I'm taking you a trail. Why? Why did he start? Why did he tell her to lie? That was a lie, by the way. Why did he tell her to lie? Okay. So she's 65. And I'm pretty sure the king wasn't going to be 65. I don't even have Spanx on. You know, put Spanx on and you might be thinking. But come on, 65. So, if you don't know what Spanx are, it's all right. Okay, I think I'm hot now. Jeez. As I do this here. 65, yeah. Okay, let me get back on page. Let me find my notes because I am so lost here. All right, so I started thinking, why would he tell her to lie? She's 65 years old. The king wants to, you know, is probably going to grab her. So I did a little Bible research. Start looking up different the experts, the Bible scholars. And this is what they say, which I think is good. Ready? When God called Abram to be Abraham, to be the father of many nations, the scholars believe that at that moment, Sarah, who became Sarai, had a change. God actually changed her physically. Or else the guy needed glasses. I don't know. But I believe that God, because those he equips, he will, if he calls you, he will equip you. And I believe this. So I was reading these scholars. I'm like, oh, that's why I might have been chasing a 65-year-old babe, because she was changed physically. Just saying that. Write that down. Go to bed. I hope you keep you awake tonight. Just lay in bed tonight. I don't know, Pastor D. Okay. All right. So I said all that to say, it doesn't matter what condition you're in. Doesn't matter if God called you, he will. Okay. And he will give you the gift to carry out the calling. Amen. Tell me what you get. Praise the Lord. All right. Point number three. Here we go. Our calling is sovereign. That means that God determines it. Yeah, if I had known that years ago, I'd stop wasting my breath again. I'd be telling God all these things. And God is sovereign. But now people get a little on that, but listen to this part. So God is sovereign. He decides. Now, have you ever wondered why God had Billy Graham be Billy Graham. Some of you don't even know who Billy Graham is. Okay, he's going home to be with Jesus, right? But he was, in his lifetime, the biggest, the most well-known, influential, I like that word better, influential evangelist. And I was at a meeting, oh my gosh, decades ago, with a room full of ministers, and the guest speaker said, raise your hand if you are first heard the gospel for Billy Graham, or you received salvation through the ministry of Billy Graham. Over half of the people in this meeting raised their hand. He was influential. He really was. Okay, so have you ever asked, why did God choose Billy Graham, and why didn't he choose Brenton Downs? You said, just think about it. Just say, why did God do that? All right? The answer, ready? God's sovereign. He decides. Okay, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going with this, but God is sovereign. He decides. All right? So turn over to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis 48. There's a story in Genesis. We're going to read it. It's about Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, there's a story about Jacob. Later on, God changes his name to Israel. Okay, so this is a story about Jacob and his son, Joseph, and Joseph's kids, which would be Jacob's grandkids, Manasseh and Ephraim. Okay, this is what the story is about. Now remember, his name was Jacob. Later on, God's going to change him. Okay, now back in the Old Testament, when grandpas would lay hands on their kids and their grandkids, and they would speak words from God over their kids. They'd actually become prophet-like, but they weren't prophets, but they would move in the prophetic. Words from heaven would go through the grandpa who's laying hands and speaking words over these, their children or their grandchildren, and it would come about, okay? It would come about. It's a pretty cool thing to do, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So who, so Joseph has two sons that he's going to bring before grandpa, Jacob. And they're going there for a purpose, so that Jacob or Israel would lay his hands and speak over these boys. Now, Manasseh is the oldest. And that meant, how many firstborns? They get a double portion. They get a bigger blessing, okay? And then Ephraim's the second one, so he gets blessings, okay? So it's kind of interesting. So Joseph has brought his two sons before Israel, and Israel's to put his hands on both these sons. But who goes first? The big one, the oldest one. Yeah. Love pulling that card. Okay. So Jacob's supposed to put his hand first on Manasseh. All right. Okay. The story is going to show you about God is sovereign, but he still has blessings. He loves everybody equally, but he's sovereign. He's going to do some things. Okay, Genesis chapter 48, verse 13. And Joseph took both of them. This is the dad, okay, took both of them. Ephraim on his right towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand, and brought them close to grandpa, okay? Verse 14, but Israel, that's the grandpa, Jacob, reaches out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger one, and crossing his arm, and he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he get the directions? Okay, but listen. Verse 17. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. Yeah, a little. Yeah, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Verse 18, Joseph says to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your hand on this, Manasseh's head. Verse 19, but his father refused. I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, And his descendants will become a group of nations. Okay. So both of them had a call, though, right? They both got a calling. They were both going to be blessed as nations, okay? They both had a call, okay? And they both had some things from God that God blessed them with. But guess what? God was sovereign in his calling. God was sovereign and he decides. So why do I tell you this? I would like you to be sensitive, because I remember this one person, this is years ago. Listen, I was young and dumb for a long time. Okay, so I tell you my young and dumb stories. But this one person, I just watched them. I actually saw the call in their life. And they were so goofed up. I was like, God, you're missing it. They're really goofed up. No, no, no. God is sovereign. And he picks. Okay? And all you have to do is answer the call. Don't look at so-and-so and so-and-so. Because, you know, I watched this person's life. And I thought, man, I'm glad I didn't raise my hand for that one. Later on, I got a little smarter. Okay. Everybody say, God is sovereign. He decides. All right. Okay. So all you have to do is say, God, I'm going to answer your invitation, period. Praise God. Okay. Last one. Here we go. Last one. Point four. It's never too late. Everybody say that. It's never too late to accept your calling. It's never too late, okay? It's never too late. Maybe you've been a follower for 20 years. Maybe you've been a follower and you've been a follower and you never even heard about callings and calls and stuff like that. Maybe you felt you had an invitation, a call in your life, and you just kind of didn't do it. You kind of ignored it, like, I'm not listening, okay? But guess what? The call, the invitation is still there. It's still there, okay? Okay, so God never takes it back. It is still on your life. Praise God. Now, maybe you became a Christian like you're 40, 50, 60, 100 years old, and you're thinking, I'm too old. Nope. You got your call and your invitation and your gift before you were born. So you are called. Doesn't matter how young, how old. Okay, you are called. You are called. And maybe you'd say, well, Pastor D, I received Jesus and I have totally screwed up. I have made so many mistakes. I have been far from him. I have sinned and done everything. You know what you have to do? God, I repent. Come back. Because guess what? You are still called. Still called. Still called. And okay, I won't even go into that one. Praise the Lord. All right. So open up to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans 11:29. Listen to this. God is writing this scripture to a bunch of backsliders, idol worshipers. He's writing it to the nation of Israel who backslid from God. And they were so forgotten, goofed up, doing everything they knew they not to do. This scripture was written to the Israel nation when they were backslidden. So here it goes. It says, Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call, which means his invitation to stand in a divine appointed position, are irrevocable. Doesn't matter if you've messed up. God gave a call in your life, an invitation in your life, all right? And he doesn't take it back. I want to go, tough, you're stuck. He gives this call in your life and he won't take it back. Praise God. So our position doesn't have anything to do with our condition. And all we have to do is yield and say, God, what is it you want? And come for the rest of the month because I'll fill you in on the rest of it. Praise God. How about just close your eyes? I have been praying. I have been believing. I have been speaking over you. Some of you are going to go, oh, quit it, Pastor D. Oh, no, no. I'm believing that God is speaking to hearts and eyes to be open. Some of you who have known and have walked off away from it or just not yielded to it, I'm believing you're going to hear again. You know, just get quiet. Crack open your Bible. Just spend a couple minutes there and just get quiet. God, what is my call? God, or better yet, some of you go, God, I know. And my ears are tuned in, all right? And I'm going to yield to it, all right? So I want to encourage you guys, answer the call. Because God has invited every one of you to a divinely appointed position. Father, we come to you this afternoon again just thanking you that your great love has deposited callings and gifts to walk this out. And I thank you, Father, as the weeks go by, that it'll be so clear in our ears, Father, that we will know and say, yes, Lord, yep, 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 okay. And just say, yes, Lord, I answer the invitation. Yes, Father. So I thank you for the eyes of their understanding are open to his calling for the things you've planned in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, eyes closed, one more thing. I have one more invitation. Praise God. Everybody has been called to the family of God. The call's already been there. The family of God has been called. And maybe you're here today and you have never answered that call. What do I mean by answer the call? It just says, Jesus, you're the Son of God. And I ask you to come into my life. It says, if you'd call the name of the Lord, you'd be saved. Saved meaning, man, you're a part of the family of God. So if you're here today and you have never answered that invitation, that call, just raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. Is there anybody in here that just would say, Pastor D, I'm ready for accepting that invitation to have Jesus in my life, to be a part of the family of God? Is there anybody in here? Praise God. Anybody? All right. Okay, folks, stand up if you're called. That means everybody stand up. Okay, Father, I thank you for these called, set apart ones. They are blessed coming in, blessed going out. I thank you, Father, that you speak to them and they have a great week in Jesus' name. I hope to see you all roller skating. If not, come out and help us off the floor. Amen. There'll be, Pam will be out there.